Good morning. My name is Deion Taylor, and I've introduced myself to various and all of you. And if you don't know me, you will get to know me because I'm here. This is a testimony time, and there's so much that I could really say about Lord Jesus Christ and how he has changed and affected every aspect of our lives. And I say our because I always look at my family, just as I told Pastor Black earlier, from all our backgrounds and the things we've went through, only he could have kept us all together. I would have never dreamed that script up or done those things in a million years. If you'd have told me that before that, it would have never happened. I'd have laughed at you. But through the grace of God, you never knows where he may lead you. excuse me. There's an outline here, and I'll go by it and give brief summaries of the things that are listed here. And the first one is my life before Christ. Well, my life before Christ, like my children, I was a kid raised in a family that went to church regularly. My mother was saved and had great influence on our lives. My father, he was in the church for a while, but eventually he dropped off, revealing he really didn't believe in the Lord. But he would take us there, and we would go to Sunday school, and I received Christ as well as my brother and sister did as well in Bethel East Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan. And I believed, just like a child, as Jesus said about the stories of the Bible and who Jesus was and what he did, from a childlike frame of mind. So I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I remember being baptized in Bethel East Baptist Church around like 12 years old. And I've always believed that. Little in my naive mind, I thought everybody believed in Jesus, and I thought everybody was a Christian, and I thought everybody's last name was the same as mine, Taylor. But when you go to school and things like that, you find out differently in life. And I was soon to come into the shock of my life as I grew older. But nonetheless, the Lord was faithful all during those times. I came to know him as I became a teenager. Havoc and tragedy had struck our family life during that time. My mother and father got a divorce. They split up, and it affects kids tremendously as they were caught in the middle, and that was our siblings, me and my older sister and my younger brother. But all through it all, God was still good, and I still believed the core values of the Bible, and I still read it as much as I could, even though my father didn't take us to church anymore and whatnot. I still had my Bible, and I still remembered what Jesus did, the resurrection and how he saves, and if you trust in him, and to say my prayers and things like that every night before I went to bed. And then as most teenage like, the struggles plural came. You start realizing who you are. You start realizing that you're attracted to girls. And it was yucky in elementary school, not anymore, but girls the same way, things of that nature. Music, culture, dressing, clothes, money, all these things were coming at me. Now, my father, during that time, had an altercation with one of our neighbors, and he pulled out a gun or something like that, and he was carried away for some time. So that left me and my younger brother pretty much homeless. So for quite a while, we would stay sometimes with neighbors, sometimes with family, and sometimes we didn't know where we would stay. In the meantime, I had to graduate from high school and go to school with those pressures. My counselors knew, and they helped the best they could and did all they could. I also had to work part-time, and I also was part of a football and track team, so I was athletic and, you know, a captain and all these things. But my coaches and things, and God provided people in my life to keep me guided, knowing the pressures, knowing sometimes I would be late, bypassing some of the school rules when I couldn't get from the west side of Detroit all the way to the east side on some days and whatnot. So they knew what was going on, and I knew what was going on, too. I did graduate. Still a homeless man, pretty much around like 16 or 17 years old. Pretty soon, you're affected by some other things. Street life became wide open to me. Some of your friends that you grow up get involved in a lot of hellish things. And they would offer, in their way of trying to help me, you know, some of them would sell drugs and be like, look, man, you know, we know you ain't, you know, they'd see holes in my shoes. And, you know, sometimes I would close stores and house it for people. Even sometimes taking shelters in abandoned cars and things like that, and staying in Christian shelters from time to time, and doing anything I can from sundown to work, make money, honestly. But they would try and front me things like, look, man, you can turn this over, you know, get some money in your pocket, man, do something. But again, the Lord had instilled some values in me at a young age to not go that route. So I would try my best and stood away from all that. But eventually, if you hang around garbage long enough, you'll start to smell like it. And eventually some of the smell stuck with me. I had got involved with some things in the street, from hired muscle to dog fighting to gun running to everything. And a lot of times I didn't travel by myself. And, you know, I looked at myself during those times, and the Lord was really working in my heart, and I wrestled with those things. And when the church would, as I got involved with various churches, and I've settled on one pastor who took me in, wanted to adopt me. He said, you shouldn't be living like this, young man. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to make it. But street life was there, and Christ was on the other side. And as I turned to church and things like that, I would always be convicted, and sometimes go out and pray, and sometimes, you know, ask the Lord to give me the strength to overcome some of the strongholds that I had. You know, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't be a friend of the world and love the Lord. And those things were really striking a chord with me. And a lot of the people in the street knew that, too. So there was the wrestling match in my young life. And as I grew in grace, God finally, one day, gave victory to me. And the event was too tremendous to even tell you, but it was a huge sum of money. And we pulled some crazy event off, and I walked away from everything. And they said, man, you can't do this. You're crazy. And I said, yes, I am crazy. I said, I'm crazy for the Lord, because he was crazy enough to do all he did for me. He allowed me to hang around all you people for this long, and I didn't get murdered. And I've had obituaries of many friends that I've lost, and some of them doing years and never going to get out and things of that nature. And I said, that's it, fellas. I'm done. You'll be back. No, I won't. So I given up and gave away everything. And that's when I decided to walk and go to seminary. And my pastor paid for me as a homeless individual, sent me through school. And that's why I learned Detroit College of the Bible, SEC Seminary, and I learned to put sin away. And it was a struggle, but God was faithful and showed himself strong through it all in a young life like mine. Ever since that time, I started witnessing and leading people to the Lord, because I had a pastor who believed strongly in soul winning and investing his life in individuals. Jesus saved people, but he also taught that he transformed people. And that's the main way you see people changed and saved. So that's how you look at yourself, as Paul said in one of his epistles, to examine yourself, to see if you be in the faith. And you have to look yourself over and whatnot and say and take inventory. What am I portraying in my life? And you have to do that every day. And God calls you to that. So I cleaned best I could with the Lord's help and praying and asking him to get me through various sins and vices that I've had. And I'm no different from anyone else. I've had them. But through God's grace, I was able to overcome a lot of them in my life. I prayed for a wife, and I used to come from the shelter, and with the grace of God, I got a job at Chrysler through some individuals who helped me in the church, and I went from the street to a great job. And when I first seen my first paycheck, as I told my wife many times, I excused myself from the motor line, and I went to the bathroom, and I bent down by a toilet, and I turned off all the lights, and I wept bitterly, because I knew from chewing bubble gum for dinner to being able to get anything that you possibly need and can have, God provided it all. Sometimes I put my last $5 or something in church and whatnot, and somehow God still provided himself and showing himself that if I can trust you in little things, I'll trust you with great things. But you can trust me in all things. So after that, I was taken to the mall and taken all kind of places, and I got the substances and things that I need, and I grew and gave more. But I still wanted a wife and start a family and want to lead them to the Lord. And that was one of my big concerns. So I prayed, and I used to witness and help at a Bible study in our plant. That's how I was witnessing to a young lady by the name of Sophia. She was involved in the New Age, and she was saying she was Christian, but the more I listened to her, I knew something was wrong. So I just kept talking and digging, and, you know, I'm a person of research, and I believe in facts and things that line up, and I found out, you know, she was involved in New Age philosophy, which is a cult. And I told her about that, and I even volunteered to go to this place that Oprah Winfrey frequented in Michigan at that time, and went in there, and out of about, I'd say, what, 4,000 or 5,000 people, I was the only one in there with a Bible. And I knew something was wrong then, so I went right to the source, and I asked this lady pastor, I can't remember her name, I said, where's your statement of faith and whatnot? And right then and there, she knew I wasn't a regular guy, and no, I wasn't. So after showing my wife, well, my friend at the time, who I was dating, Sophia, that, and she couldn't believe it, and, you know, after showing her what God said and pointing her and witnessing techniques that I've known, you know, who you going to trust? You going to trust God, or you going to trust people? You going to trust God, or you going to trust this organization? This book. So I went on, and she came to know the Lord. And from that point on, I told her, well, now you're a candidate for being Mrs. Taylor, if possible. And the courtship went on, and she knew I liked her. And then she asked me to marry her, and we went on from there. And as she told you about part of it during the marriage, within a year or whatnot, she got into a real bad accident. And sometimes that's how the Lord takes you, but it's still just like in my hard times and her hard times and my children's hard times, from coming from the background and things that they come from. It hasn't been all roses for any of us. But when you trust the Lord with all you've got, he'll show himself strong, and he's faithful. And I can tell anyone that he can overcome whatever you give him, if you trust him. He can lead you in those situations. He surely can lead you out. So trust him. It got so to the point where, I trusted him, and I made sure all my family trusted him, and in-laws, and anybody I'd run into. I became a soul winner and a witness, and that's something I emphasized. I also emphasized when my pastor sent me to seminary to become students of the Word of God, and that carried on to my wife. She carried on into languages, Greek and Hebrew and things like that, and I've made sure she went to school for that. I went for doctrinal issues, and I gleaned from her. She gleans from me. We pass that to our children, our family, and whoever we run across. And it's been such a journey in various churches and various ministries we've been to that God's been faithful and used us in all the vendors of our life. It clearly shows that a long time ago, where I found a verse when I was in great confusion in my life about Islam and everything else as a youngster, about I didn't know where to go. And I'm like, Lord, I ain't no atheist, but if you show me what to do, I'm going to follow you. And he did. And I just happened to be reading through my Bible, and I ran across Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And it says, and you should seek me, and you should find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I stopped. And I knew right then and there, you know what? He was there all the time. My confession for Christ came, like I told you, at a young age. Some of the strongest verses and things in my life was about the deity of the Lord. Now, all that time as a Christian, I never knew that he was God. I knew he was the Messiah. I knew he was the promised one of Israel. I knew those things. But when my pastor showed me that in John, the first chapter, I read it all. I'm like, you mean it? Yes. He was. Yes. And it sunk in all the time. Wow, how can we do this to him? But, you know, that's a sermon in itself. And it amazed me. And the more I researched it and, you know, looked at the great Shema of Deuteronomy 6:4 and compared Echad and learning words from my wife helping me and me learning those things, it was mind-blowing, still mind-blowing, and still something great to talk about who the Lord really is. And all that time, it was God all the time. It was God all the time. And not only did he care about his disciples and through history and before the creation of the world, and he had that to do with Adam and whatnot, he cared about even little old me and my circumstances. And that was still mind-blowing. So I have to trust him with my all in all. But at a point in time, and it still convicts me greatly, and it should all of us, about the last chapter of Revelation, in the 22nd chapter, when it tells, when Jesus says, all that I've done, this book is all about me, I'm coming quickly. And the Spirit and Bride begs you to come, and all the beckoning, and then it closes. And if you mess with this book, I'm going to mess with you. If you take away from it, I'm just summarizing and giving my own commentary, but it's a warning. And then it ends and closes. It says, behold, I come quickly. Be ready at any time. So every waking day from being a homeless man, every time I hear firecrackers jumping because I'm thinking guns and things like that, couldn't sleep in nervousness. Now I'm a stable, productive taxpayer and happily married and happily serving and growing in grace in Christ. And he saved my family and each and every individual here. And, you know, we're all going to be at that marriage ceremony, and we're all going to be rejoicing. We're just practicing here, which we're going to do this morning. And I'm grateful to give that testimony / sermon or anything else I need to do. I will be ready. And thank you for your time. And God bless you. And I hope we will continue to fellowship this morning. Amen.